1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So I've already stated this at the start of this hour, I'll say it again. The old globalist system is coming to an end. They need war, economic collapse, and viruses. That's in the UN battle plans that Lou Dobbs and Judicial Watch sued in 2007 and got, how they would use war, viruses, migrant flows, economic collapse, bring in total control. And so you have the unelected EU commission that says they want total war with Russia, and that's their business plan. They refuse to give up. You have these incredibly unpopular people like Starmer and Merz and Macron, who are, you know, below 20 points in all the polls, but they refuse to leave because of the way they can parliamentarily manipulate things. And they're just doubling down with war, just like Netanyahu, convicted, indicted. He has to stay in power with a war. It's never going to end. So you have a bunch of cornered rats using total war for control, starting all these wars. Now the strait's been closed for 70-something days. The economy's falling apart. Trump's recovery has been screwed. And here's German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, since I mentioned it, called the EU a complete failure in front of a global elite by stating, Germany and Europe have wasted incredible potential. We have become the world champion of overregulation and zero growth. Well, you're the ones that cut off the energy. You're the ones that do all this. So their instincts crush their own people to control them and then wonder why they don't have any power. And now let's go start another bigger fight with Russia. But you heard what Victor Boot said. I want him to elaborate on this. 4+ years into this war, the Russians have talked about actually hitting governmental targets, what that would look like, what he thinks the time frame is. But I want to take a few calls for Victor Boot. We had a guy call in last week getting his face. That was very interesting and informative. We don't screen your calls, just your name and where you're calling from. We got a clear phone line, but you can also ask serious questions for Victor. Very interesting. We should have taken more calls in the past. So let's put the number on screen for TV viewers, and I'll give that number out for radio listeners. It's 512-266-0642. If you're calling into the U.S. country code, if you're outside the U.S., foreign calls are welcome. We're all over the world. 512-266-0624. This obviously affects everybody on the face of the planet. 512-266-0642 is the number to join us. We'll load those phones up. But here is the German Chancellor.
We are aware of those problems. Both Germany and Europe have wasted incredible potential for growth in recent years by dragging feet on reforms and unnecessarily and excessively curtailing entrepreneurial freedoms and personal responsibility. We are going to change that now. Security and predictability take precedence over excessive regulation and misplaced perfection. We must reduce bureaucracy substantially in Europe. The single market was once created to form the most competitive economic area in the world. But instead, we have become the world champion of overregulation. That has to end.
So this is a very oxymoronic, paradoxical, schizophrenic thing. It took an hour to go over everything Germany's done. He still supports the carbon taxes. They supported the U.S. NATO blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. They've shut off their nuclear reactors. And then he claims, oh, we're going to be entrepreneurial now. What is this? What do you make of this?
Well, look, we know now very well that the default setting of the European, you know, regime, it's going back to Nazism. Because, look, as soon as the economy is really sinking, because their elites themselves create such scenario, so this is a very easy way for them, you know, to blame the, you know, somebody else. Well, and Russia always happened to be the best boogeyman. So he now trying to say, well, it was a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of regulation. But guess who started first introducing them? Guess who was first making it possible for the businesses to thrive in this environment? And, you know, the Germany suffered for the past 5 years the hugest drops and bankruptcy wave, which is a huge number of their huge chunk of economy was just gone out, you know, because they can't anymore, you know, make any business. where your energy prices are stupidly high, your taxes are stupidly high, you can't operate anymore normal. So what are you going to do? There is no any more accessible and normal energy, so you can use this for your production to continue to be a world-class technological super, you know, industrial power. It's ain't happening, and they did it by themselves. So his attempt on this Davos Forum, which is a basically globalist club where they're discussing what they're going to do with the human population in the next, you know, year or two, was obvious. But this is maybe not the worst scenario. The worst scenario, as you mentioned, the globalists deciding this is their last chance, and they eventually throwing everything. They're trying to create a perfect storm where they would combine not only pandemic, a world war, energy crisis, food crisis, you know, lack of the basically necessary raw material or the precursors for different industries. And on top of this, to destroy all the logistic and the global, you know, trade. That is a perfect scenario where they can eventually achieve their reset. And then they will say, okay, we couldn't win you in the long term, but, you know, we succeeded to screw everything up. In this case, since the population of this globe is basically way more outnumbering this globalist, we need really all united to, you know, rise against them and said enough is enough. That's only solution I see, and only future, if we want to keep this civilization going on, if we don't want to wake up in the nuclear disaster, which would erase our civilization and return us back to the Stone Age, we need definitely to do something against this globalist together.
I agree. Now, before we take a few calls, let's go back to Putin saying the war will soon be over. And I read that as Russia's about to escalate. I know that Russia has been mass-producing heavy drones, other weapons, three times the production of artillery shells of all of NATO and the U.S., and is positioned for a major offensive. It would not just be targeting energy and troops by sight, but would be, you know, the scorched earth type thing like Russia did when it counterstruck into Germany to end World War II. Clearly, that's going to be a big deal. How do you expect? What's the timetable? Not anything secret or anything. I know you're not read into that, but just as a military expert and, you know, successful guy that has a lot of general knowledge, what the time frame would be and what that would look like, and what do you think NATO is going to do? Because I know Russia needs to move at some point, which is what happened, but NATO is trying to build their new EU army, so the longer Russia waits, you're then waiting for their next assault.
Look, we know that we are in this threshold. We need to stop and destroy this Hydra right when it's still in the egg, you know, without letting it opportunity of this serpent again to broke out and, you know, start growing. This is number one. Second one, we need also, and we see for the recent escalation from Ukrainian side, was basically all NATO countries, which is bordering with Russia, participating in this massive drone attacks on the Russian infrastructure in the Baltic ports near St. Petersburg, where they're coordinating and trying to hit deep inside Russia. So there is a definitely a limit of the patience, a limit of the calling them for the certain normalcy. And this is a typical, you know, British strategy. Let's go and inflict the, you know, death by thousand cuts. But you know what? We have enough immunity in Russia for this. So on certain moment, our leadership would decide, okay, enough is enough. We need definitely start hitting and destroying not only drones over the territory of the Baltic states, over the territory of the Finland, or anything which is coming close to our border, like, for instance, United States or Israel will do, but also start attacking those centers of logistics from where supply goes for Ukraine. We're talking about key strategic ports and airfields in Poland, in the Romania, just to make sure that there is no to cut off supply which going, you know, in Ukraine lavishly, especially since the new Hungarian prime minister, you know, supported And now Europe collectively giving to Ukraine 90 billion euro lifeline, so they at least keep the lights in the house and keep the war till the last Ukrainian. Well, the time frame difficult to predict, and I guess it will depend on the certain things which are going to happen. But for Russia, it's the best time. Think of this. There is not much interceptors left to help Ukraine. They need to restock Israel. We know that they are in a huge shortage. And everybody is running for this also interceptor missile, not only for Patriot, but for the THAAD too.
And Russia. And Victor, I'm glad you mentioned this before we take a few calls. I forgot last week. Trying to, ahead of a ceasefire, as Ukraine always does, NATO does, they launch unprecedented attacks all over Russia. Haven't seen something like that since Operation Spiderweb. So I guess that's what's eliciting Putin to say, okay, we'll go ahead and just end this. That's so transparent to everybody. But meanwhile, they're blowing up all these gas pipelines, refineries that actually supply Europe and contribute to the Strait of Hormuz crisis. So again, we see the globalists up above it, Larry Fink, the British intel that we know is running what's left of NATO, as they call the Northern Group, where they deliberately want a global depression. So again, why does Germany follow the rule of the British Empire, of the globalists, to want a depression? Because they're bankers, they can loan unlimited money. That's their instinct to destroy everything, even though it makes them poor at the end of the day, because it makes the general public poor. There's nowhere to even spend their money, but they have this instinct of feudalism to crush the people.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is an instinct, you know, guts level. They're just earning to get to get the crisis where they can get everything for the pennies on the dollar from those who build it, who put his, time and sweat into this, hard labor. So this is a typical.